the changing seasons have some people excited about mushrooms, in particular the wild ones you can't find in the grocery store. Some of them have exotic names like hen of the woods, black trumpet, and morel, and a greater variety of flavors and textures than we might be used to. That's in part why more and more people are venturing into the forest to forage for them. Time might be running out to snag morel mushrooms, but our next guest says foraging opportunities are just beginning for this year. Alden Dirks is a graduate student at the UW-Madison, and he's founder and president of the Madison Mycological Society. Alden, thanks a lot for coming up to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what got you into wild mushrooms?
I think many people have this entry point through eating mushrooms, and I found these really interesting mushrooms in the grocery store that were being sold, and that was my first adventuring into eating wild mushrooms. And I got hooked to the flavor and tastes and culinary possibilities, so I just had to go hunt them myself.
A lot of people are probably familiar, most likely familiar with morels. That's about where my knowledge begins and ends when it comes to wild mushrooms. How is our morel season this year locally?
It's good. You know, this is only my second season here in Wisconsin, and I've had some great hauls so far. But it's pretty unpredictable year to year. I would say we have another week or two left. But morel season, it progresses as you go north. So if you're in northern Wisconsin, you might have a few more weeks still.
And what do you like to do with morels once you have them in hand?
Recently, I just made a great pizza. Just chopped them up and got the oven nice and hot. And that makes for a delicious meal. But yeah, you can add them to. The flavors are really, they work well with fat. So butter and cheese will complement it very well.
I've gone morel hunting once. My haul was exactly zero morels. It was just the wrong time of year. You have to be ready for frustration, right, when you're going out mushroom foraging.
You do, yeah. Morels are hard. I mean, wild mushrooms in general are hard because we can't cultivate them because usually they form these symbiotic relationships with trees. So you have to find them in the wild. And sometimes we have a good sense of their ecology, but sometimes we don't. And morels are these very strange organisms, actually. And there's some general rules you can follow to try to find them. But the reality is you can sometimes find them in the most random places, and sometimes where you might expect to find them, you don't.
Before we get into some of the other mushrooms out there that we can forage for and eat, can you talk a little bit about the ecology of the mushroom and the role, the maybe unsung role it plays in nature?
Sure. So we're interacting with fungi generally all the time. They're literally all around us. Every breath we take, we're breathing in dozens of spores of fungi. So they are essential for all ecosystems as decayers, as nutrient recyclers. They form symbiotic relationships with all, pretty much 90% of plants rely on fungi. And they're also pathogens, which is really devastating for many people or farmers. But for ecosystems in general, all of those ecological interactions are important and necessary.
Yeah, the things we see as mushrooms, they're just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the fungus world, right?
Exactly. And one kind of comparison people have used is like an apple and a tree. It doesn't quite work the exact same, but it really is only a part of the larger fungus, which we call the mycelium, which for the most part is invisible, but is radiating through soil and through wood and pretty much everything around us.
All right, the morel is the celebrity of the wild mushroom world, at least here in Wisconsin. Maybe it's different elsewhere, I don't know. What are some of the other kinds of wild mushroom that we might find over the course of a summer?
Yeah, so mushroom seasons, the edible mushrooms really go on from May, beginning of middle of May, until end of October, November even. And even though morel season is coming to an end, soon enough there will be chanterelles, which are also a favorite of mine and lots of people's. Black trumpets, and then we have hen of the woods and chicken of the woods, oyster mushrooms, porcini. The list goes on and on, really.
And my worry would be, if I went out by myself, I'm really bad at telling one type of wildlife from another. Birds, plants, mushrooms, presumably, you name it. I'd be worried that I'd find an inedible one and think it was edible. How can we make sure we're safe out mushroom harvesting?
Yeah, for me, the best way to learn how to forage wild mushrooms is to go out with other people. And that's why I was excited to start the Madison Mycological Society, to bring together people who are experienced and who have less experience to learn together. And I really think of it as a K-12 one-room classroom, where you have people who are very experienced, who have a lot of knowledge and can share that. But you also have people who are fresh to it. And they come with new and fresh eyes and observations and excitement. And I think that combination makes for a great experience.
We're talking about foraging for wild mushrooms. Alden Dirks is with us, founder and president of the Madison Mycological Society. Now, you mentioned you're new, relatively new to Wisconsin. You're from Boston previously, or that area?
Grew up in Pennsylvania, but moved from Boston prior.
Is there a different mushroom scene over there when you were out foraging compared to Wisconsin?
A little bit, but for the most part, you could generalize between northeastern North America. You have a pretty similar ecology compared to western North America or southern North America. So really, the Rockies are a divider of North America, and you have very different species. Those mountains, they are actually a geological divide that don't allow many things to cross over. So you have very distinct species on each side of the mountains.
So have you been mushroom foraging west of the Rockies ever?
Not quite. I just traveled, but I will be in 2 weeks. I'll be going out to Oregon, and hopefully you have big burn sites out there, and you have, even though morel season coming to an end here out west, you can find them growing in these burn sites where thousands of acres of wildfires lead to these massive flushes of morels. So I'm very excited. And those are even different species of morels. We have at least 6 different species of morels in Wisconsin even. So across North America, there's about 30 different species. So depending on where you are, you even have a whole different selection of morel species, for example.
6 different morel species in Wisconsin. I didn't know that. Would I taste the difference?
It's a good question. I'm not experienced enough with all of them. But some of them you can't really tell apart very well. Morphologically, you have to use DNA to sequence the specimen, or you have to use microscopy. But a few of them, really there's 3 distinct ones. And most of us are most familiar with a species called Morchella americana, which is the common gray or blonde morel. It's the same species. But we also have the half-free morel and burn morel. So I'm not experienced enough with the other 2 species to know if they taste different, actually.
And you are a grad student. Is this part of your research as well? It's not just your hobby?
This is not. Well, okay. It's career, it's life, hobby, it's everything. But my research is very different. I actually work for my research on fungi that do not produce macroscopic or visible mushrooms.
They're spore only?
Not just, you have the cells called the mycelium, and it does not produce macroscopic mushrooms. It does produce spores, right? But these are not in these kinds of like structures that are used to spread the spores. And these are called mycorrhizal fungi that associate with plants and are very important for the health of most agricultural crops. So that's what I work on for my graduate research.
Interesting. So we brought you up to talk about the edible ones, but now I'm really curious, like, what are some facts about the fungus world that a lot of us might not be aware of? You've already shared a couple of them with us.
Yeah, so we were talking about these choice edibles like morels, but there's all different types of choice inedible fungi, I like to call them. And they are really essential for all these ecosystem functionings. And when we go out, just a fraction of the mushrooms are edible. The vast majority are inedible, and some are poisonous. So we can talk about the macroscopic fungi, which maybe constitute just a small portion, and there is a large portion that we can't even see. So you have this whole range, and they're just doing many different things in the environment.
How do you go out and collect the microscopic fungi? Obviously, the definition is you can't really see them out in the wild.
Right, so these happen. I collect these by taking soil cores, and then I use next-generation sequencing technologies to... I don't even look at the species. I've never even seen them. What I do is I pull them out with these sequencing technologies, and through these technologies, I can see the thousands of different species that exist in the soil.
Wow. So just like one sample, you might find maybe 100 different DNA samples of different kinds of fungus?
Right. So there's about 100,000 described species of fungi, but an estimated 10 million out there. And many of those are these microscopic fungi. So if you take just a very small bit of soil, it really does have thousands and thousands of species in it. And many of those are unknown to science.
So it might be very plausible for you in your career to discover multiple species of fungus.
I hope so.
Which seems cool.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm working on that right now, actually, a few more obscure species. So, yeah, I get the Madison Mycological Society and my own relationship with mycology comes about through this concept called biocultural restoration, which comes from Dr. Robin Kimmerer, who is from Wisconsin. And for me, it's this connection that I have to nature. It's this science and practice of developing a relationship to place. So people have all sorts of connections to place through hunting, through fishing, through bird watching. But for me, that's really mushrooms. both the edible and non-edible ones, because there are so many species out there, and they're so aesthetically interesting and wild.
All right. I've just a short time. People talk about terroir. I'm pronouncing the French word wrong. The idea that the soil a thing comes from influences the taste. Could these fungus that we don't even see be part of that?
Yes, absolutely. There's truffles, for example, which the white truffle is the most expensive food item in the world, is known to associate with many different bacteria. It's thought that these bacteria that associate with these truffles do contribute a lot to the flavor. And it's the same with morels, for example. People have tried cultivating morels, but the cultivated versions just don't taste as good as the wild ones.
So is there a mushroom, getting back to the edibles, just in our last few moments, that you're looking forward to as the year goes on, now that morels are winding down?
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm particularly fond of chicken of the woods, and you get these large, large orange fruity mushrooms that appear, and those ones are very delicious. I'm looking forward to those.
Fantastic. Alden, thanks so much for coming up and sharing this with us today.
Thank you, and I hope everyone can look at the Madison Mycological Society and join us for forays.
That's Alden Dirks, founder and president of the Madison Mycological Society. We talked with him about foraging for wild mushrooms right now and into summer, and about the ecology of fungus, big and small. If you forage yourself, we would love to hear from you, maybe even a picture of some of your best hauls. You can send that to us, email ideas@WPR.org, or as always, you can tweet us at Central Time WPR, share some of your favorite mushroom finds over the years.